Hi everybody, welcome to Rob Evans 365. Don't know the number, sorry, I'm in the mobile studio, can't check. Heading back from the Channel 9 interview that I completed about an hour ago. It finished 55 minutes actually. My daughter didn't come with me, so I'm not staying in the city. I was going to stay in the city with her, and we're going to spend some time, have some dinner and stuff. And anyway, I thought, well, I might as well jump in the car and just head back home. And so what was it like? Well, it went for longer than I thought. You often wonder, well, I do anyway, when you see segments on TV, like 60 Minutes or those types of settings, you wonder, what's the environment like? What's the room set up like? What can I learn from this for my own, my own videos and so forth that I do? So we go upstairs at the Herald Sun in Melbourne, and I don't even know which floor it was because somebody else was driving the lift. And so we go into this little room, and it was a little room that looked like a little office where they've taken out the furniture and put in a chair, and there's a couple of cameras on the chair, and a big long light, and obviously I was sitting in the chair that the lights were on. The interview sits way at the back of the room, not behind the camera, but just to the back. And the instruction was, you just need to look down the camera lens the whole time, which is really a little bit off-putting, because that seems really unnatural that you'd be like gawking straight at somebody, as opposed to the ones that I've done in the past. You're kind of looking at the middle of a screen if you're doing it on Zoom, or you're talking to the interviewer, and kind of the camera's at the side. It's a little bit more natural.
Sure.
I mean, we wonder how it's all edited and how it will come out. But yeah, I mean, the conversation went for about an hour. And it's a case of, she asked a question, and she said in the final edit, she won't be on there, you won't hear her voice. So she said, what I need you to do is repeat the question back in your answer. It's like, oh, okay. And the first couple I did, I kind of forgot about doing that and just kind of threaded it into my response when I remembered. But then I got better at it. They were very happy with it. It got to the point of me being in a bit of I was crying, I was hesitating. The tears were not like wailing crying, but I don't know, I'm sure they'll leave it in because they like the emotional parts of things. It's really hard to talk about the pain that my poor little girl suffered, and hard to summarize certain things. They said, well, tell us about this. It's like, well, golly. Yeah, that's a really painful and long process that went for over 2 years. So I kind of, as I'm giving my answer, kind of trying to filter out a bunch of things, but include the key parts so that it made sense to anyone that's watching it. But the reality is there's so much devil in the detail. But anyway, they said, wow, look, you're doing so well. Like one of the cameramen, he started to tear up. They were, I think, very grateful for the rawness and the openness that I delivered my responses. And so we'll see what the final edit looks like. It's going to be 4 episodes. I won't be in 4 episodes. And who knows? Like, there was about an hour of content. Who knows how much they will keep in, edit it down to 5 maybe minutes. I don't know. It's going to come out in July. Oh, well, sorry, in winter. So July or September maybe this year. So we'll see. So my approach to these things is, in many ways, it's an honour to be asked by the media for your views about something. I mean, if you think about the millions of listeners to Channel 9 programs and so forth. So it is a privilege to be asked. It's also, I think, a duty and an honor for me to be talking about my daughter so that Liv is remembered in a meaningful way. And I guess there's a weight on me to make sure that I do that for her legacy.
Amen.
For her legacy and also for the family, to make sure that I'm representing her in the right way, because we all think about her in different ways, and I want to make sure that I do it in a very respectful and appropriate way, so that she's never forgotten and remembered in a beautiful way. So that weight does rest heavily on me, and I'm very conscious when I answer questions to make sure that I do reflect her in a great way, despite the pain and the suffering. But it's also hard to reflect all of that in moments, in questions. It's like, golly, how do you sum up how wonderful your daughter was, and how do you sum up all the pain? How do you sum up the suffering, the treatment, the bias, the lack of treatment? How do you do that? So I do it based on reflex in the moment. And there was probably three times there where it was really quite emotional, but I pushed through and they said, look, that was just really great. And so my approach is, let me add a lot of value. Let me give them everything that they want, so that they've got the material, and now it's up to them to edit it in the way that they want to represent the story the best. And if I add a lot of value there, and when the show airs, well, for one, I've added a lot of value to the reporter, to the cameraman, and making their job a bit easier, adding value to the producer, the editors, because hopefully they find that it's powerful content that needs to be included in the story. And therefore, it means that, like I said to Amy, was her name, the journalist, I said to her at the end, I said, look, if there's anything that you need, you've got my details, and just please feel free to reach out. I said, whether it's now, whether it's in the future, so that she knows that I'm approachable. And all of these journalists, even though they're different networks and so forth, they're all connected. They know each other. And if, let's say, somebody reached out to her and said, hey, do you know anyone that would like to be interviewed about eating disorders or something like this? And they are more likely to say, yeah, look, interview Rob. He was so raw and real in the process. He's really open to having those conversations. And then once it does air and people see it and other networks see it and other reporters, etc., then when they're doing their research and they come across the story and whatever, and they can say, oh, well, okay, this guy sounds interesting. What if we go from picking up on some of the points that I've said? What if we go from this angle? What if we pick that as our point to go from? What if we do that? And you just never know where one thing can lead to the next, Ultimately, why do I do that? I want to get better solutions. I want the conversations to keep going. The more people that have the conversations, the more spotlight there is on it, the more potential there is for funding, the more potential there is for change, the more potential there is for new programs, new approaches, and no more deaths. And that's what I strive for. We should have a zero target, 100% recovery. That's what our goal should be. And I do believe that Melbourne, where I am right here, could be the leader in the world in this space, become the absolute best if we want to be. It's like, it's going to take people like me speaking up and that attention to, why don't we become the best in the world at this? Let's get zero-based thinking in place, and let's get way better outcomes than we've got right now. That's my approach to it. So the day is done. Now, how do I feel? Good question, Rob Evans. Well, I can tell you that when I walked out of there, as I'm walking out, of the building. I called somebody that shared some time with Liv in hospital, and she was interviewed earlier today by the Sun people. And I just checked in on her to see how she was doing. Knowing that when you have these really open conversations, that it brings up stuff. And she is still dealing with her own demons, even though she's on the better side of them. So I was checking in with her to see how she was going. Because I just care for people. I want to make sure they're okay. And so she said she was doing fine. I'll check in with her mum a little bit later. And it was a slow walk back to my car. And I really, it would have been nice to stay in there, I suppose. But I thought, no, I wanted to be back with Em, because she's not feeling great. And I'm feeling a little numb, I suppose, in that walk. Like, it was very slow. I was thinking, I was reflecting, I was, you know, I was trying to, it's coming from a perspective of honouring Liv and thinking about her at the same time without thinking too deeply about it and going into that really, really sad, deep place. And that's challenging. So I was kind of feeling a little bit numb on the whole walk back. And just knowing that, well, I've got the rest of the afternoon now, where I purposefully rescheduled my clients because I knew it wouldn't be necessarily a great feeling afterwards. And maybe it'll come heavier later, maybe not. I don't know. But just giving myself that space to stop and reflect. And yeah, look, I really miss her. And this can sound weird, and depending on your beliefs and so forth, well, maybe cremating somebody is not agreeing with your beliefs. Maybe other people, it's okay. They've wanted to be cremated. And what I like about that is the fact that she's in an urn and she's with me. And she goes where Em goes. So right now Em's with me, so her ashes are with me. And there are days where I will just stand there, kind of rocking, holding, maybe dancing, I don't call it that, to music, and I just hold her. I wrap my arms around her, I hold her into my chest, and I just hold her. And that might sound weird, it might sound beautiful. I go on the beautiful side of things, and it's like it makes me feel closer to her. And I talk to her. You know, we watch a movie, and I'll stick her up in bed next to me. I say, Liv, come on, let's watch this. Sometimes I'll put a hat on her, and I'll put a like a little toy next to her and stuff, like a toy that she would love. And so I can still remain connected. So I never want to forget that. And it's just a way that I use to deal with it all. It's hard. Some days much harder than others. And today's a heavy day. So, yeah. Anyway, they're my thoughts on it all. And again, I would just say to you, if you've got kids, loved ones out there, just give them an extra tight squeeze today. Life is precious. You never know when things can just change in a moment, and you just never get to do that again. You know, I can think of so many painful points that I could talk for hours about with Liv and what I was allowed to do, not allowed to do, treatment they would do, they would not do. And I can't do anything about it now. I tried as hard as I could then, and now it's just too late. It's just too late. Too late for her, but not too late for others. We need change. All right, I'm out. I'm in a traffic queue. See you tomorrow.